Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Paul Duan. Thank you very much for joining us.
Very happy to be here, Matt.
And we'll be talking about your film, the film that you're presenting here, While You Live, Shine. So, for the benefit of our listeners who are not familiar with the film yet, would you like to maybe introduce it a little bit and tell us what it's about?
Well, there's an area in northern Greece called Epirus, which is a mountainous, very remote area. It's kind of cut off from the world on one side by a ravine, the deepest, like the Grand Canyon of Europe, the Vicus Gorge, and on the other, and it's also, as I say, right up in the mountains. So it's been kind of kept very remote. It's quite poor, and the music in that area has stayed the same for thousands of years. I became aware of it because there's an American record collector called Chris King who had spent his life obsessed with the old music of the American South, blues, country, bluegrass, whatever, even polka and these other immigrant musics. And he had grown to believe that all proper folk music had vanished from the earth because it's all been kind of contaminated by modern civilization. Until he discovered the music of Epirus, which he first found through 78s from the 1920s. And he thought, like all the other music he liked, this music was just preserved in time but vanished from reality. And then when he went to Greece, he discovered the music has been preserved, partly because it's so remote and partly because the people there hand down the tradition from father to son. And it's become a very cherished tradition in that part of the world. So he is now, his obsession has grown to the point that he's learned Greek. He's moving to Greece as soon as he can, moving to Epirus. He's bought a house there. And the film really is partly about his obsession and how it's kind of changed his life and made him who he's quite a reclusive, eccentric kind of man, record collector in the USA. But in Greece, he is kind of, you know, the center of everything. He's become a kind of a father figure to the people of this area. And the film is quite a an emotional experience. It's not an intellectual film. It's more like a film you watch with your heart.
When I was watching it, I read it very much as like there's something about finding a thing in life that you love so much that it almost becomes a point of reference for you.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, it's a very modern thing. I mean, I think people adopt ideas and hobbies and things very, very strongly now, almost as a point of reference for their whole identity. And you get people building their whole identity around something, you know, they're a fan of. But it's slightly different with in this film, because what Chris was really looking for in life was, I think, a sense of community and a sense of kind of being rooted in a particular place, because he grew up in Virginia in the American South and he never felt that was his home. And when he went to Greece, you see in the film that he feels like he's found his own home in this place many, many miles from where he grew up with a completely different culture. He feels like he's coming home. And that's a very unusual feeling. And I think it's something that a lot of people would love to experience for themselves. And that's kind of, and also it's, you ask questions. I mean, a lot of people have asked me after watching the film, do I believe that he really has found what he's looking for? Because maybe it won't, maybe it'll, when he moves there, it might be a disappointment to him. I don't know. That's something that we will only really ever find out by doing, you know, ourselves, by finding out. And, but it really is a film about longing and wanting something different to what you have and finding it through music and finding a sense of community.
Yeah. I'm thinking as well, like watching the movie, Chris doesn't seem to be, well, immediately doesn't strike me as the friendliest of people. I don't know if I'm being too tough, but not necessarily. I mean, people think that about me probably as well. So it doesn't really matter. But what I want to ask you is, like, then how do you convince him to be in a film?
It wasn't difficult. I mean, Chris and I, when I got in touch with Chris after reading about him in the New York Times, we immediately got on very well. We both, he's a very, very, very likable human being, although he probably wouldn't like to be described as that. He likes to be thought of as a curmudgeon, but he is genuinely a very likable, warm person. He loves movies, he loves Tarkovsky, he loves film noir, he loves a lot of the same kind of stuff that I like. So we had a lot of connection talking about Stanislaw Lem, talking about Jim Thompson, and you know, these kind of hard-boiled writers. You know, he has a very broad range of interests, and you know, basically everything that isn't beer and football, which is kind of the culture of where he comes from, he's interested in everything apart from those things. Mm. But, no, I mean, I think what's interesting is how you can connect with somebody on the other side of the world who you've never met before. And then when we made the film together, we had never actually met him. The first time I met him was the first day of the shoot when we went to Greece, because I hadn't got the money to go and meet him beforehand or whatever. So, but it all worked out really well.
Do you think things would have been different if you had known him before?
I think what would have affected it is if I had been to the village before making the film. Yeah. Because we went there, we had no option except to... We were there for like 3 weeks and we had to make the film in the time we were there. Or 2 weeks, I think it was. And I went back the following year without a crew, and I just spent time at the festival, which is a really, really intimate, family-oriented music and dance festival. It's not like a rock festival. It's people with their families. They get together. They dance all night in circles, and it's very, very rooted in the area. And when I went back just and was a participant, I realized how intimate the whole thing was. And if I had been there, before I shot the film, I would probably have thought, this: I can't bring a film crew into this because it is so... I would have felt like we were stamping all over it with our big feet, you know. I'm glad I didn't, because going in there ignorant meant I could bring the crew in, and we made the film, and I think everybody's happy the film exists. The people of Vitsa, the village where we filmed, love the film, and they really want it to be seen all over the world. But, you know, there's something about... You don't want to destroy something as fragile as that, and that's kind of how I felt when I went back.
Do you feel that you were able not to do that even as you were pointing cameras?
The people of Vitsa were very, very, very understanding, and they let us film through their most kind of... It's a very personal experience for them, but they understood our motives and they really trust Chris. I think it was more because Chris trusted us, and then they trusted us because Chris trusted us. But, you know, the result is a film that they really like, but they were doubtful about it, and they did ask to be shown the film before it was finished in case there was anything that they wanted taken out. So I went and I had a big screening for the entire village, and they really, really liked it. So, I mean, there was no problem.
Oh, you did have a screening?
Before it was finished, rough cut, and well, it went down well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love the way that, you know, and towards the end of the film and the final part of the film, you really do... get it's all the music, really. It's all the experience of being there. But how are you putting that together, and how much footage had you actually shot that you could make?
Well, you know, the film is all the stuff that we shot that we liked. I mean, we didn't shoot that much. My idea was not to shoot. We shot when we thought something was interesting. We kind of treated it as if we were filming on film. I think some of the time when you're shooting on digital, you kind of end up filming for hours and hours because you can. And instead of that, me and my cameraman, Paddy Jordan, who's an incredibly gifted operator, we decided to only film when we thought something really interesting was happening. So really, the film was made up of the best things we filmed, and there wasn't that much left over. And we also, as you point out, had very little talking. We didn't really do interviews, and if we did interviews, we did them in Greek. So I didn't understand what people were saying until I got home and had them translated. But luckily, it all worked out.
I also wanted to ask you about the current situation in Greece and how much that influences you in the making of it. Politically, well, economically, you know. Greece has been discussed nowadays, yeah, is very much about that. And then also, there's the other thing of when we talk about Greece being about ancient Greece and all the touristic stuff. I feel like in this film, we see something that's not really discussed, talked about.
Yeah, well, I mean, history is very present in that area. I mean, the villages, the people we spoke to remembered the Nazi occupation. They remembered whole villages being slaughtered. And they, only a few hundred years ago, had the Turkish or Macedonian invasion or whatever. They were occupied. It was an area that was occupied by another country, and it's very close to the border of Albania, which is a very disputed border. I mean, history is very fresh there, but being Irish, I'm used to that. I mean, in Ireland, as you know, our history is always very close to the surface. So I feel there's a kinship there. As to modern politics, the only sense I really got was a sense of kind of a feeling that they have to depend on themselves, that they can't depend on anybody outside. It's a very much not a kind of a place where you would get a sense that they depend on the government or anything. They're really looking after themselves, and they have to, and I think they always have. It's quite an independent place, and that also is an appealing thing. It's a kind of a place you feel you could survive the end of the world, you know, get some goats and grow some beans and mushrooms and live.
Yeah, there's a timelessness about it, right?
Yeah, it's
would you ever be able to live like that?
I think it might be a little remote for me, and also I never learned to drive, and you really can't do anything up there if you can't drive. It's like, you know, man, you're up the mountains. So
I respect someone who doesn't know how to drive, because I never learned how to drive either. Cool. And I don't really want to.
No, I like walking. I'm a walking man. And I love Rotterdam. Rotterdam's a great city for walking in too.
That's great. Well, thanks very much for joining us. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Matt.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.